Jesus. We come to you and we come in your presence. We just come as your kids and we are so thankful. We're thankful that we get to gather today, Father, to worship, gather today to hear your word and words spoken for our hearts. Father, we declare that our hearts are open, prepared, and that we absorb and we just march out of here better than we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. If not, you should have had coffee. Work. All right, we're in week 3 of our series about worship. And, you know, sometimes I think we can have this misconception that worship is only for those that are talented. Well, that would push me down here. Worship is for those that have rhythm. Well, that wouldn't be me. Worship is for, it just doesn't apply to everybody. And sometimes we can be thinking that. It just doesn't apply to everybody. So hold that thought. And let me ask you this question. Have you ever had access to something, but you didn't take the access? Have you ever had access to something, but you didn't take the access? Okay, Pastor D, what are you talking about? Let me tell you a story. Just pretend you've paid for this beautiful vacation, this resort with your family, and you come into the front desk and you go, ta-da, I'm here. And the lady looks and says, wow, you have stayed with us a lot, Mr. So-and-so with family. You know what? We're going to upgrade you. Whoa, favor of God, all you Christians, right? Praise God, hallelujah. Well, what's the upgrade? Oh, we're going to move you up to the 12th floor where you've got a view of the ocean, all right? So you go in and you're like so thankful. So the next morning and every morning you get up in the morning and you truck down to the elevator. One of the elevators is not working. And it's like 10,000 people are all getting up that morning, squeezing into this elevator where you go downstairs and you're going to go grab breakfast where your coffee costs $7 and you're buying all this stuff for your kids. And then you haul it upstairs to your lovely wife and she goes, honey, it's cold. And you're like, ah, all right. So you do this every morning, every morning, every morning. And then it's day 6, your time to check out. You go downstairs and you're checking out. And that lovely lady says, oh, Mr. So-and-so, did you enjoy the concierge lounge? And you're like, what? What? She said, well, you know, you had access to the concierge lounge where they have lattes and croissants for free, and you can come back at lunch and you have this for free, and you can come around dinner time and we've got all these appetizers for free. And she says, didn't you access the concierge lounge? And you're like, oh my gosh. Okay, so have you ever had access to something you didn't access? All right? So worship, coming in and worship into the presence, y'all have access, but you have to access it. You have access to the presence of God. You have access 24/7 to the presence of God, but you have to access it. And you know the thing I found out about God? He definitely wasn't a mama. You have to eat your vegetables. You're not leaving. God is not like that. He will not force you. He is not an enforcer, all right? He is a filler. So what you have to do, and we're talking about worship, what you have to do is you have to access. And man, when you access, I'm pretty sure it's better than the latte and the croissant. Amen? So turn over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, let me read this to you. It's John chapter 4, verse 23. This is red letter. That means Jesus is saying this. Jesus is saying this, John chapter 4, verse 23. He says, but the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Okay? So to worship the Father in spirit and truth has nothing to do with your ability, has nothing to do if you can sing on key or off a key. And if you sat next to me, you go, yes, yeah, she doesn't sing on key. It has nothing to do with rhythm because you know, Lane, I still don't know the clap thing. It has nothing to do with your ability to worship in spirit and truth. Hallelujah. Has nothing to do with your ability, all right? So if you're taking notes, write this down, what worship is, okay? To worship in spirit and truth is a pure, innocent, authentic expression. A pure, innocent, authentic expression of your faith and your trust in Him. That's true worship, all right? True worship, all righty? Now, listen to the second part of John 4. It says this. Okay, so let me read the first part again. But the hour is now coming and it's now and here. It's now. It's here. Okay. When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. The Father is seeking such people to worship Him. All right? So those that worship in spirit and truth, the Father is pursuing. The Father is seeking those who would worship Him. He's seeking for you to worship Him. It's amazing. Now, it doesn't say the Father is looking for those that are talented. And you know, listen, God knows what you got and what you don't got. All right? He created you. He created you, and He's not going to compare you. But the Father is looking for those, raise your hand if you're one of those that will worship Him in spirit and truth. So simple, so simple. So we just finished a lovely time of worship where we were lifting hands. Some of you were bouncing like a pogo stick. Some of you were singing on key, off key. All right? And I just gave up on the clap thing here. But I really believe that was worship in spirit and truth. And guess what? The Father loves that. The Father loves that. He loves when we go in spirit and truth and we just worship Him. It's just wonderful. So all of that was just to get you ready. All right? That was just my pre part. Here we go. Today we're going to talk about our worship is our weapon. And Brian just touched on some of that when he came up here for the offering. I was like, go Brian, reading my notes, all right? So if you're taking notes, the title of the message is, our worship is our weapon. Everybody say that. Our worship is our weapon. Our worship is a weapon. And listen, I believe that God wants to equip your arsenal. He wants to equip you with your arsenal with worship and praise. Now, you can walk around with a BB gun in your arsenal. Big whoop. It's not going to do much. But I believe that God wants to equip us with our arsenal with worship is our weapon and praise is our weapon. So we're going to talk about that. And listen, so God wants us to be equipped with this and so that it is our weapon. But listen, the enemy knows that. By the way, you have an enemy. It's not your mother-in-law. You have an enemy, the devil, Satan, whatever name you'd like to go. But he would love if the children of God would not worship, would not know that this is their weapon. And he knows, you know why he's so adamant about this? He knows that your life actually connects to other people. Because once you receive Jesus, it's not about just you. It's about you, this here, going this way, all right? So the enemy knows. If you ever figure out worship is your weapon, praise is your weapon, if you figure this out, I'm telling you, we're going to live victoriously. We're going to be a lot mightier than, So the enemy knows, and he wants you not to do this because it stops you for all the places God has for you, and those places are for people's lives to be changed. So, all right, turn to Habakkuk. It's about the end of your Old Testament, 5 chapters up, Habakkuk. Can you imagine naming your kid that? Some mother must have known what that meant, Habakkuk. Okay, Habakkuk chapter 3. We're going to be in Habakkuk chapter 3. Now, let me give you a little background. The author is Habakkuk, and I can't say that 10 times fast, and he's actually a prophet in the old time. Prophets in the old time, they were men and women that heard the voice of God. And in the Old Testament, God would speak through the prophets and the kings. And the rest of you, not. All right? So this is God talking to this prophet, Habakkuk, because he has ears to hear. All right, but listen to this. In chapter 3, at the end of chapter 3, Habakkuk's gone through something really terrible, actually really devastating, all right? And we'll read it in a few moments. But here's the interesting thing, while I'll tell you why it's so interesting. He has just gone through this whole thing, this terrible destruction in his life and in Israel. And he, after going through this, decides to change his position. Or we used that word last year, posture. And he starts to sing a song, and he plays an instrument. Gosh, he's so talented. He can do both. You should see me drive and talk at the same time. Not good. One time I hit the house. Okay? Don't distract me, all right? But this guy, I'm like, you got talent. You hear from God, and you can sing, and you can play an instrument, and you're singing, all right? And he's singing to God. But listen, he starts the song, the singing and the instrument. It says strings instrument. And he's singing after, in the middle of all that is horrible, destructive, just the worst thing. And then he kind of switches gear and he continues then to worship God. Now, wait a minute. He just had the worst day ever. And he continues then to worship God. Almost fell over there. Stand up, Pastor D. Okay, he worships God and he praises God. Okay, now, here's something really interesting. And I've seen it, in my own life, and I've been watching you guys for a long time. But here's the thing. When pressures come in our life, you could call them storms, pressures, stuff, okay, it squeezes you. Storms squeeze you. Stuff squeeze you. And when you get squeezed, what's inside of you will come out. What's inside of you will come out. And I remember this story. It's probably the first testimony book I read 40 years ago, and I can't remember the title, but this gentleman is on an airplane, packed, and they crash. And he describes this. He says, hundreds of people are cursing God. God, beep, beep, beep. God, beep, beep, beep. And he, because he was a believer, because he had filled up and knew his God, didn't go, God, beep, beep, beep. He started praising God. God, I'm praising you. You're going to deliver me. And people were dying as they were cursing God. And God opened a hole in the airplane and he jumped out. He was saved. Okay? So listen, in the storm, whatever's inside gets squeezed, and whatever's inside will come out. So Habakkuk must have had the good stuff because he started singing, all right? So watch out what comes in here. So, you know, it's really interesting. This is the mom in me saying, you need to read your Bible every day, right? Read your Bible every day, daily, all right? And people tell me all the time, Pastor D., you don't know how busy I am. Pastor D, I got these kids. Pastor D, I got to go here. I'm busy. I can't. And don't ever tell me I don't like to read because I get upset about that. But I hear all these reasons why people can't read. So I'm going to give you a new program. Everybody say 15 minutes. 15 minutes. Say it again. 15 minutes to spiritual discipline. What is that? Every day, read your Bible for 5 minutes. Everybody say 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Come on. Do you have 5 minutes? Some of you go into the throne room for more than that. Get your Bible in there, all right? Read your Bible for 5 minutes. Then worship him for 5 minutes, all right? And then how about have 5 minutes of prayer? 15 minutes. Word, worship, prayer. 5, 5, 5. And you know what happens? You do the 5, 5, 5. Pretty soon you're like, I want more, because that wasn't hard. And you, okay, now there's another one for spiritual discipline in your life, and is to remember. So after you've done word 5 minutes, worship 5 minutes, prayer 5 minutes, then you start remembering. You know, God, I remember when I was in this mess and you got me out of this. God, I remember last year when they told us we had a shutdown, and I'm thinking, what are we going to do? I remember how you brought Chad in here and we got a camera and we're videoing it. Or how about, God, I remember when we were at 0.00 in our account and God, you got finances to us. I start remembering. So you start remembering and then you think about today, Lord, it's a mess. The kids, I got this going on and this and God, how am I going to get this? And then you start remembering. Well, if you did it then, and you did it then, and you did it then, well, shoo, baby, you're going to do it again, all right? So 15 minutes, 5 in the Word. How many of you can do 5 minutes in the Word? How many can do 5 minutes of worship? Most songs, what are they, 3 to 5 minutes? Put on a, yeah, okay. And then 5 minutes of prayer. And if you just want to pray, Father God, help, 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 that's okay. It's a good place to start. And then do the remember. Praise God. Remember. All right. And you know what happens when you start that daily in your life, daily in the Word, faithful to the Word, faithful to do 5 minutes of worship, faithful to prayer. Then when you get in these squeeze situations, you have hope because God's been doing this and this and this in my life. Amen? How many of you have watched God do this and this and this in your life when everything else was like, no way, everybody's going to sink, and you've watched God. Amen. All right, that was just a freebie. Has nothing to do with the message here. Okay, praise the Lord. Y'all, in Habakkuk chapter 3, here we go. We're going to start in verse 17. Now, remember, this guy, not because he was a prophet, that was a special something in his life, but he had a relationship. And listen to this, verse 17. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there's no grapes on the vine, though the olive crops fail, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stall. It sounds like a bad country song, right? You're like, whoa, this is what's going on. And now, listen, I didn't grow up with cows, sheep, four-legged, nothing. So this probably doesn't make any sense to you. You can't really relate. But if you ask the Holy Spirit, he's got to relate in here for you, okay? Because watch what happens. Watch what happens. In verse 18, he starts to shift from, oh, this is bad. Oh, this is terrible. He starts to shift, and we're going to use that word, his position and his posture. And instead of being a spectator, watch this. Oh, woe is me. Oh, the kids destroyed the house again. Oh, I got another bad report from the doctor. Oh, my boss is unreasonable. Oh, okay. That's kind of like a spectator because all you're doing is repeating everything you see, right? You're just spectator. You're be nice, Pastor D. Okay. Anyway, so you can either be that and you're sinking and you're in the survival. And I really call it treading water. I used to teach swimming years ago. Treading water, you go like this. And you're not going anywhere. Okay, and sometimes you got to go, okay. You can either be that as the spectator or do what he did. He positioned himself. Instead of this, he positioned himself, and he actually had great expectations, and God comes through, all right? So let's read the next part. Even though, the next part, verse 8, yet. Everybody say yet. Count to three and say it again. 1, 2, 3. Yet. Okay, listen to this. Yet. Yet I will rejoice. I will rejoice in the Lord. Everybody say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. So, but you got to get this guy. Verse 17. Even though the sheep aren't here and nothing's growing, and even though this terrible thing happened, and even though this seven happened, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. All right, I will rejoice in the Lord, and the last part is I will be joyful in God my Savior. Habakkuk realized the power of worship and praise, even though, come on, how many of you got some even though's going on in your life? Huh, I know, some of you call me, Pastor, do you pray about this? You got some even though's, okay, even though, yet I will worship. Because worship is our weapon and praise is our weapon. Amen? So, just maybe you are one step from a breakthrough. just maybe you're one step from this thing that's just overtaken your life, this struggle. And maybe you just need to shake it off. Shake off 2020 for crying out loud, all right? Shake off this frustration. Shake it off and go, but yet God, I will worship you. Yet God, I will praise you. And how about that? It just might change. Matter of fact, it will, okay? And by the way, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So what are you saying? How about, God, I will worship you. Lord, this is my weapon, praise. Okay, amen. Praise the Lord. How about this one? Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. You guys are good. You read your Bible. How about rejoice in the Lord when the economy's good? Rejoice in the Lord when the food prices are decent, when the gas prices. No, it says, come on, rejoice in the Lord always. What does always mean? All righty. So how about this? You got some stuff going on in your life. You know, I've had stuff in my life. Raise your hand if you had stuff going on in your life, okay? But this is what I do. When I've got stuff just hitting me, storms. You know, someone says storms. I'm like, shoo, baby, we had a hurricane go through here. You talk about stuff going on. All right, you know what I do? After we cleaned up all the mess, I went and I hunkered down. Do you know what hunker down means? I got into the presence of the Lord. I got into the presence of the Lord. I got into the Word. I got into His presence, okay? All right? And maybe you're like, well, Pastor D, I never feel anything when I'm in the presence of the Lord. Well, maybe you haven't tapped into the access. You have access to go in there instead of, oh, my gosh, a storm, a hurricane, all right? So access, praise the Lord. So I go and I hunker down. I get into the Word. And you know what happens when I'm in the Word and when I'm, and sometimes I actually stop talking. With the Lord. And I just step into that access place. Jesus gave me access. And I just step in and I just get really quiet. And the most amazing thing is I start hearing Him talk to me. Yeah, I will hear Him talk to me. And, you know, some people say, well, I feel all warm and fuzzies. Yeah, I say, that's good too. I like those, but not always. But I'll hear Him start talking to Him. And then He'll say, okay, go, girl. Start praying, and I'll go, in the name of Jesus, this thing that is attacking me, I command it to go. By the way, the name of Jesus is the most powerful name you've got. The name of Jesus is still bigger than COVID. This name of Jesus is still bigger than cancer. The name of Jesus is still bigger than diabetes, heart disease, dementia. You name it, it's still bigger. So I'm going to go into His presence, and I'm going to start worshiping Him, and then I'm going at it, all right? All right, and the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Everything, all right? And it says that mountains will bow down. Anybody got a mountain in your life? It has been in your life, and it's getting bigger. How about you go in and you pray in the name of Jesus? I command you to bow and leave, and I thank you, Father, for your presence. I thank you, Father, for your help. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. You get another cup of coffee. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right? You know, but Pastor D, I'm in the fire so bad. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Read your Old Testament Bible story. Such a fun one to do with kids. All right, they were in the fire, and who delivered them? In the fire. Who delivered them? The Lord God. And they didn't even know about the name of Jesus, all righty? So how about, God, if there's anything that's not of you, I command it to go in the name of Jesus. Pretty good. Praise the Lord. All right. You know, sometimes people will say to me, oh, Pastor D., I just feel like God is so far from me. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh. But hey, listen, He is as close as the mention of His name. Everybody say Jesus. It's pretty good, right? All right. So I go in and I start speaking to the storm. Jot this down, Job 22:28. It says, you shall decree and declare a thing and it shall be established. Woo! You shall open your big mouth and declare God's word and it will be established. Amen. Okay? So maybe, just maybe, we have to kind of rethink or reroute our praise. And yes, we're going to get some storms in life, okay? But in those storms, I'm going to get into his presence, and I'm going to say, Father, I worship you. This is my weapon. I praise you. Man, this is a good weapon. Amen? All right. So this guy, Habakkuk, or whatever he is, I can't say that one, he figured it out. He figured it out. Number one, he had a relation, and he figured out if he'd worship, it'd be his weapon. If he figured out, if he'd praise God, it'd be his weapon. He figured out if he drew into this relationship, it would be his weapon, and God would change things. Amen. Okay, that's my second part of getting ready, but we're going to talk about three things, okay? If you're taking notes, we're going to talk about three ways to unlock worship is our weapon. Three ways, real fast, worship is our weapon, all right? Now, the first one's kind of childlike, and you'll be going, Pastor D, no. Write this down. Number one, we have to live an open-handed life. Now, I'm not this one here. I'm not talking about this. I'm like this. We have to live like this. And you know what that is, open-handed life? God, I just surrender. I just surrender. Now, raise your hand if you're a control freak. See, you didn't raise your hand most of you because you're a control freak and you won't do what I say. All right? But I get this control freak thing. All right? It's hard. I find it hard to do this sometimes. Okay? I surrender. All right? And but here's the deal. When you start living in this, I surrender, this is what you're saying. God, I do not have it all figured out. I do not have it figured out. Tell your neighbor you don't got it either. Okay? You know? But listen, a lot of times we think, I got this. I can figure this out. All right? We do this. But listen, quit trying to do it by yourselves. Quit. So tell them, quit it. Quit trying to do it by yourselves. All right? You know what? You are not that good. I found out I'm not that good. I'm not that good. Quit trying to do stuff by yourself. Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his image. Woo! Just hang out in chapter 1 of Genesis. It's just beautiful. God created man in his image, all right? And then in Isaiah 61:3, it says that that we are to take all this heaviness, all this stuff, all this frustration, dump it, and put on the garment of praise. So, the one who created the world, and by the way, he molded you into his image. You weren't a created tree. He molded you into his image, okay? And he's saying, hey, D, just surrender. I was like, okay. So much easier, all right? 1 Peter, turn over to this. I'm going to read this. This is out of the Amplified. 1 Peter 5:7. This is so beautiful. Okay? 1 Peter 5:7. I surrender. I love it. All right. Casting one of your cares? I know. This and this and this. Casting all your cares. Listen, and Amplified just describes what they are. Ready? All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, onto who? Into him, for he cares about you with the deepest affection and watches over you carefully. Okay? So when you cast your cares, like, I'm not that good, I can't do this, so I'm going to cast it on you. What you're saying is, God, I realize you're big. And you're strong, and you're the fixer, and you're the healer, and you're the deliverer, and you're the wonderful, all of y'all. Amen? So that's what happens when you start doing that, all righty? Now, this is the little aster at the bottom that you forget to read, the little tiny fine print. Listen to this. God can't fix, deliver, do any of this unless you release it to him. You have to release it. All right? You have to release it to him, okay? And if you refuse to release your anxieties, your cares, your worries, the kids, my boss, okay? If you refuse to release it, he is not going to force himself on you, okay? So you're going to be like this. God, I got all these worries. I got all these anxiety. I got this stupid boss. God, do something. And you're holding on to it. So how about you just cast your care, right? Cast your care. And you know, sometimes what we do is, none of you here, absolutely none of you, sometimes we wear this badge, I'm broken because of what life has done to me. Or I'm a victim because you know what happened to me, all right? But listen, God calls you overcomer. God calls you the redeemed. God calls you the delivered. God calls you a son. God calls you a daughter. So why don't you just cast and just call yourself that, amen? So how to unlock worship as your weapon? First, you're going to open your hand and just surrender, all right? John chapter 3, I think 30 says, he must become greater and I must become less. So instead of saying, I got this, I can fix this, I got this, I'll do this. How about you just let him be great in your life? Everybody say, he's great. I'm going to be less. Man, it's just so much easy, all right? But here's really good news. Sometimes you should throw some good news in there, Pastor D. The promises of God don't have an expiration date. A while back, I was rearranging my cupboard with all the canned goods, and I thought, well, I better just, some of this stuff's been here. And I turned one over, and it says 2010. That's scary, yes. All right? That's an expiration date. The promises of God, the presence of God doesn't have an expiration date. Just come on in. And how about I'm going to lean on the presence of God. I'm going to lean in there and worship. And I'm telling you, it's not going to break. It's not going to break, okay? So worship is our weapon. And we come in and we go, God, I just surrender to you. Praise the Lord. And man, God just can do something with you. All righty? How many of you like gardening? How many of you have had big gardens? Right now I have a bush in the ground, and I have three pots on the what's that? My front stoop porch there. Okay. So, you know, gardening's not my thing. But how many of you love gardening, have had big gardens? Right now they're probably all dead, right? Okay. So about a year ago I was visiting a friend of mine, and her next-door neighbor had this beautiful, magnificent, huge garden. Not only flowers, she's got vegetables, and then she had trees that are growing fruit. And I was like, man, this is the most beautiful garden I've ever seen. So I was telling my friend, because I was over there hanging out with her, and the neighbor walks out. Because, you know, I'm like here, wow. The neighbor walks out, and I go, oh my gosh, is that your garden? Yeah, that is beautiful. I mean, like healthy. Just, you know, a healthy, beautiful garden? I was like, what is your secret? What is your secret to have this beautiful garden? And she had a little kid, and the kid, she answered me, but it's because the kid was talking, and she's going there, and she, I said, well, what's your secret? And finally, I could hear her. She says, well, I weed every day. And I'm like, high maintenance. No wonder why I'm not doing a garden. And I said that to her. That's high maintenance. She goes, no. I don't weed every day. I meant to say, I look for weeds every day. Everybody say, I look for weeds every day. Okay, number two, taking notes, how to unlock worship as our weapon. Ready? You every day, you look for weeds. Daily, every day. Every day, you have to look for weeds. Okay, Pastor D, what do you mean by weeds? Okay, weeds are things that try to come in your life, and they're usually disguised as good fruit. All righty? So what's the job of a weed? Did you know weeds have a job description? But what's the job description of a weed? To choke, to strangle. What else did I write down? It was so good. Oh, yes, restrict growth. Okay, that's the weed that, but think about this. Things in your life that are weeds actually try to restrict your connection to him. Sometimes, you know, weeds come disguised. I'll get to that in a minute. But the purpose is so that you will not have this connection to him that we're supposed to have, all right? Turn over to John chapter 15, verse 5. John 15, verse 5. Now, remember, weeds try to disguise herself, all right? But we want to stay connected. John 15, 5. I am the vine. Thank you. You are the branches. We're branches, okay? If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, not connected to me, apart from me, you can do nothing, all right? So the enemy loves to put weeds in our life. And they're a disguise. And just say a weed might be that relationship. Oh, but really it's toxic. But, no, it's toxic, this relationship. It's really a weed that's toxic in your life. And how about you've got a weed, some toxic dodo thought in your head, and it's just causing you to disconnect from God. How about this? You've got this old struggle. You got this thing that you have not surrendered to God, all righty? So weeds try to come into our life, and they'll be slick. They'll be disguised, okay? So let's all say we walk out the front door here and I go, oh, there's a weed. And you come up and you go, oh, but it has some pretty berries on it. I'm like, yeah, okay. But it's a weed. What happens if we don't do something to that weed that has pretty berries on it? And supposedly I have a whole bunch of pretty plants over there. Okay, what's going to happen? It's going to choke everything, right? It's just going to choke everything that's around there because that's what weeds do. They come to choke, to strangle, just to the life, all righty? So, this is what you should put on your mirror this week. Check for weeds. Post-it note. Check for weeds. You got to check for weeds how often? Every day, okay? Weeds. Weeds could be, okay, okay, now. Praise the Lord. But how about every day I'm going to live open-handed, I'm going to surrender, and every day I'm going to check for weeds. Oh, weeds, 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 okay? Because worship is our weapon, and you got to start pulling weeds out of your life so you'll do this. Otherwise, all these weeds are just going to distract you. Amen? All right. Now, so my next door neighbor has this beautiful garden. And the other guy on the other side of her house has this weed garden. And I was like, just set it on fire. It's terrible, right? This garden looks bad. All righty? Just terrible, terrible, okay? But so why did that happen? Because they never, every day, never ripped out the weeds. So you know what they do? They get up in the morning and they're like, she's just digging through the weeds, trying to find one piece of maybe not rotten fruit. And why did that happen? Because you have to check for weeds every day. And you know, sometimes we are living in a place where we're stuck and it's just sinking. And maybe it's because we have to take some weeds out of our life. Weeds of thoughts. And I'm not saying people that shouldn't be this close in your life, okay? But I'm telling you, thoughts, all right? And if you don't check for weeds for every day, you're going to have, you're just going to be sinking. So everybody tell your neighbor, check for weeds. Every day. Every day. All right? Now, Jesus tells us that weeds are going to come into our life. Thanks, Jesus. No, he tells us weeds can come into our life through storms. So, you know, sometimes just life just comes at you and you have weeds in your life, okay? Sometimes weeds come on our life because we do it. It sounds nicer when we say self-inflicted, all right? We do it. We do. We think, we do, okay? And sometimes we live on a cursed earth. This culture is just crazy. It's just like I thought it was crazy and then 2020 hit. And then people are like, oh, there's so much uncertainty. Oh, listen, Here's the good news. The one thing that I know is certain is Jesus and his word. He's the certain thing. So I'm going to worship him. I'm going to open up my hands. I'm going to yank out weeds so I can let him in. Amen? Praise God. Listen, you can either be a thermometer or a thermostat. One tells you what the temperature is all around you. You can be that. Or you can be a thermostat and you set the direction of your life. You decide, like Habakkuk, I will praise him. So, what are you going to be? Yeah! Praise the Lord. Woo! Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay. All right, it's Monday. Oh, my boss was a pain in the butt. My coworkers are just about so I get in the car, I'm going to drive home to my wife and the kids, and I come in the door, oh my God, stay away from me. I had the worst Monday ever. Don't anybody talk to me. Are you, oh, leave me alone. Are you going to be a thermostat or a thermometer? How about you choose before you walk into the house? I am going to smile. I am going to choose to say, blessed be the name of Jesus. He's working, and my boss, I'm praying for him, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay? Praise God. Turn over to John chapter 16, verse 33. We're talking about storms. Okay. John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you all this so that you will have peace of heart and peace of mind. Whew, that's a good combination, all right? Because, listen to this, here on earth you are going to have many trials and sorrows. But then he says what? Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So I don't care what you're hit with, you have to choose to be of good cheer. Instead of driving home and coming in the house, oh my gosh, don't anybody talk to me, I had the worst day ever. How about you choose, I am going to be of good cheer. I'm going to be of good cheer, all right? So when you're checking for weeds, praise the Lord, you got to live open-handedly and surrendered. And when you start doing that, when you start having this relationship, you will know whose you are and you will know who you are. You start getting in this presence, you will know whose you are, and you will know who you are. Turn over to John, 1 John 5:14. 1 John 5:14. So I am choosing to cheer up. I am choosing to be a worshiper because it is a good weapon, and I'm choosing to praise him because it is a dang good weapon. And when I'm doing that, something's going to happen. Listen to this verse. This is the confidence we have approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So that what happens is when I'm doing this, all of a sudden I've got this confidence because I know whose I am and who I am. So when things and storms start hitting my life, I go, oh no, devil, you're gonna quit before I do, because I know the greater one who's already whooped you, and I know that he stands with me, so just take off. I call you walk in with confidence. Does everybody say confidence? Boldness, all right? Okay, but so I will live an open-handed life. I will live surrendered. I will live yanking out those terrible weeds, okay? Because I am determined to stay connected to the vine. And when I stay connected, he can move in me, and then he can move through me. So, but it is a decision. Stupid boss, blah, blah, blah. Okay, or else, blessed be the name of the Lord. He goes before me. He fights my battles, okay? All right, last one. Here we go. We can do this real quick. Last one, how to unlock worship as your weapon. Last one, number three, we have to consistently find our yet. Remember that scripture we started with, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18, it says, yet. You have to consistently find it. You have to. Now, I get in your face all the time and tell you. But you have to find your yet, all right? And one of the things you can do is you just find out you're not doing it on your own. My yet is I'm not doing it on my own. We sing these songs all the time. The Lord is fighting our battles, right? Okay. Deuteronomy 28. You can just look at this or you can scribble it down for later. Deuteronomy 31 verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you. Everybody say the Lord himself goes before you. Now, he didn't send in the second string. You know those puny guys that aren't really good? And he didn't say that. He said, the Lord goes before you. What? I should feel really confident right then, all right? So the Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged, okay? But here's the deal. It's a choice to find your yet. You have to just decide that God is with me. He's never going to flake out on me. He goes before me. He's going to fight my battles, okay? You have to decide that, and then you have to say that. So, anybody have some storms? Anybody know that what Monday's going to be like at the office? You got a storm coming up, all right? Got some storms coming along, okay? Now, while you're in that storm, you are getting squeezed, right? And I get it. Sometimes you're like, God, what is going on? All right? But in that moment, I have to decide my yet, right? I have to decide that I'm also going to pull out the weeds of doubt. I'm going to pull out the weeds of fear. I'm going to pull out the weeds of depression. I'm just going to pull out every negative thing. I'm going to do this. And then I will say, yet I will praise you. Yet I will worship you, right? And like you've just got this storm of a report about your body and you'll say, yet I will praise you because Jesus, you are the word that healed all. And then you just got a report, oh my gosh, they're going to do layoffs in the beginning of the year. Yet I will praise you because you supply all my needs. You'll supply for me according to your riches. Yet I will praise him, all right? So I'm going to start saying this, and then I just kind of shift my posture. And this is what I shift my posture into worship. All right, so I'm going to close my eyes because I'm going to sing, and I can't look at you when I do this. But this is what I do. To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live, I live. To worship you, I live. Yet, I will praise him. It is a decision. It is a choice. And I tell you, get over there and God will move. To worship him, I live. To worship him, I live. I live. To worship him, I live. And when you get into that place, man, the presence of God, you'll feel the presence of God. Not that you go for goosebumps and stuff, but I know. And then I come out of there, I'm going, I am ready to take hell on. Because I've been in a place of worship and I know my God and I know he's going to move in my life. I've seen him do it and I'll recount all those times. Praise God. But you have to find your yet. And that is a weapon. And you know, you can't come here 24/7 on Sunday. I'll go home on Monday. No, I go home afterwards, okay? But how about in your life when the storms are squeezing you? You decide that worship will be my weapon. Worship will be my praise. To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you. Amen. But it starts out of your mouth. So why don't we stand and let's just get your weapon. Come on.